On Tess Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the bottom, line against Shel Moed. We said in the Mishnah that the Shammai and the Hillel argue about a sukkah that was made not l'shem mitzvah sukkah. It was made, now we did say before that a sukkah has to be the schachas that have been put on for the purposes of shade. If it wasn't, then it's possible according to everybody. But now we're saying it was put on there for the purpose of shade, but it wasn't put up for the mitzvah of sukkahs. So we said the Shammai says it's possible, the Hillel says it's kosher. And we discussed the various psukim from which Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel get their respective opinions. So the Gemara asks, Beis Hillel less lehu de Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav, does Beis Hillel not agree with what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav? Now, of course, Beis Hillel being Tanoim and Rav being an Amora, it's not like they have to agree with him. But the point is, do they b'chlal hold of the concept that he's saying, the din that he's saying, or would we have to say maybe that what Rav is going to be saying is maybe not according to this Hillel? So, Da'amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, talking about tzitzis, you have a similar kind of concept where the Torah tells us to make tzitzis, and you have a concept that you have a concept that they have to be made l'shma. And so Rav says, Asom and Akoitzin, morning Yaakov, Tesam and Bez, about 10 lines from the bottom. So as far as tzitzis, Asom and Akoitzin, if a person were to make tzitzis from koitzin, now first let's learn how Rashi says it, then we'll learn about there's a different explanation than a number of other Rishonim say. Rashi explains koitzin means like this. When you're weaving cloth, so you have the shesi threads that are stretched out over there between the two rollers, and then you have the eight of thread which is passed back and forth. Sometimes you have, during the weaving, a shesi thread breaks. So rather than going and you're going to start replacing the whole thread, especially if you've already woven part of it, what you'll do is you'll tie the two broken ends together, and then you'll continue weaving. So what happens at the end, then you're going to have, after the cloth is woven, you have the ends of the shesi thread that are sticking out of the fabric. Those are called koitzin, according to Rashi. So now, suppose that afterwards you cut off those koitzin and use those to make tzitzis. Umina nimin, or if you made tzitzis from nimin, which Rashi describes means you sewed a hem or a border or something onto the edge of the garment, and then now you have those threads from that sewing hanging off, and you use those to make tzitzis. Umina gardin, or from gardin, which are the ends of the thread from the weaving. So again, you may have that when you're weaving the cloth, you have ends of the shesi thread that stick out, and afterwards you may cut them off or you may not. So if over here, so you left them, let's say, on the side of the beged, and then you made the tzitzis right then and there. So all of those, psula, all of those, the tzitzis are possible. So Rashi learns the reason why. So, okay, sorry, with the koitzin, we're not talking about that you cut them off. With none of these are we talking about, according to Rashi, that you cut them off. We're talking about that was sticking out of the beged, the weaving, from the middle of the cloth, or at the end of it that's left over from the weaving, or at the edge of it because from thread that you sewed. Whatever the case, it was all placed there, not l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. It was placed there as part of the weaving, therefore no good. Minas sisin kshera. On the other hand, if you made tzitzis from sisin, which is a ball of yarn, or a ball of thread, a spool of thread, which was not made, they weren't spun, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, then he would say kshera. Because he doesn't hold that the making of the threads has to be l'shma, just that the putting them on the beged has to be l'shma. And continues the Gemara, ki amrita kamei de Shmuel. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, when I told this over to Shmuel, Rashi brings that Rav passed away several years before Shmuel, or Rabbi Shmuel goes and tells us that they passed away 7 years apart. So after, so Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav, after Rav passed away, Rabbi Yehuda went to Shmuel, became his Talmud, and he often used to tell over Shmuel things that Rav had said. So when Shmuel hears this, he said, "Amali afmina sisin nami psula." Actually, it is possible even if it's made from a spool of thread, because the thread has to have been spun l'shem mitzvah tzitzis as well. So therefore, so alma d'be'in t'via l'shma. So you need the spinning has to be l'shma. Rashi says that we're not gerdus over here. The word alma, which is good morning, which is why it's in parenthesis. Because according to Rashi, we're not saying we prove from this. The point is that Shmuel is saying the reason why you can't make it from Sisin is because not only the placing it on the beged has to be Lishma, so does the spinning of the thread have to be Lishma. So therefore, Hochinami Nibaya Sukkah Asui Lishma. By the same logic over here, we should say that a sukkah also has to be made Lishma. So why is Beis Hillel saying that? You don't need to? The point is not necessarily even are we learning from a pasuk. The Gemara is going to bring now pasukim about it, pro and con. But not even necessarily are we learning from a pasuk that you should have to make it lishma. It's just more svara that when the Torah wants you to make something for a mitzvah, it should be made lishma. Now all that is according to Rashi, by the way. The Baal HaMor has a different explanation of kotzin and nimin and gardin and a different understanding of the of what the Gemara is asking. According to Rashi, it comes out we're not really asking from Rav at all, because according to Rav, you're allowed to make the tzitzis, you're allowed to make the thread for the tzitzis, not lishma. You just can't, you just have to put it on the beged. It's just putting it on the beged has to be done lishma. On the other hand, the Baal HaMor explains, and many other Rishonim, including the Rambam, learn this way also, that no, minakotzin, or minanimin, or minagardin, refer to various kinds of inferior wool that you want to use. Kotzin would mean when the sheep are grazing among the thorns and some wool rips off them and gets stuck on the thorns. If now you were to collect that wool and make tzitzis from it, then it would be possible. Why? Not because it's not made l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, because it hasn't been made yet, but rather because that can't be called min hakonah. It can't be called the kind of thread of which you would make the corners of the garment, meaning the garment itself, because you wouldn't use such cheap wool for that. Or a different explanation is because it's a bezoyin of the mitzvah, which is the reason that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Min ha-nimin, nimin would be harder, would be stiffer strands of wool that grow among the softer strands. Gaudin would be similar to what Rashi says, the ends of the thread that the weaver cuts off at the end. So all of those are inferior kind of things, and therefore they'd be possible for tzitzis. So nothing to do with lishma or not. But the point is that he'd be saying therefore that you see it has to be min konaf, and he's saying if it's made from sisin, from a ball of thread, which is the kind of thing that you would make a garment from, then it's kosher. But implying, in other words, that it does have to be placed on the garment lishma, and Shmuel says not only it has to be placed on the garment lishma, but it has to be spun lishma. So according to that explanation, the question is from both Rav and Shmuel. According to that, you do have the word alma in there, because you see that both of them agree it has to be spun lishma. Just that, and both of them agree it has to be spun lishma, and the machloket says does it have to be placed on the beged lishma? Okay, so by the same logic, in other words, we should need the sukkah to be made lishma, and Beis Hillel is telling us that not. Does that mean that what Rav or Shmuel or both are saying doesn't fit with Rabbi Yehuda? The answer is no. It doesn't fit with Beis Hillel. The answer is no. Shiny Hussam is different in that case. Da'amakrug jilim tasa lacha. The pasuk says you should make dilim, meaning fringes, tzitzis, on the garment, lacha, which means lacha, l'shem choyva. Lacha means you have to make it for your chiyuv. So they have to be placed on the beged l'shma, according to Shmuel, and according to the Baal HaMor's explanation, also according to Rav, they have to be spun l'shma, etc. So therefore, that's why it has to be l'shma. By the sukkah, not. So the question is, hachanami chaga sukkah tatsa lacha, lacha l'shem choyva. Nu, by sukkah, it also says the word lacha. The answer is, ahumi boi l'lamo utik zula. The answer is by sukkahs, we're not using it to say that it means that you have to make it lishma. According to Beis Hillel, it means rather it's teaching us that you're not allowed to use a stolen sukkah. Lacha means that it has to belong to you. Now it doesn't mean you're allowed to borrow somebody's sukkah. That we're going to learn in the next paragraph where we know that you're allowed to borrow somebody's sukkah. Unlike on the first day, you can't borrow somebody's lulav and esrog. But what we're saying over here, the lacha by the sukkah teaches you that it can't be stolen. Tosfos discusses over here, stolen should be also anyway on the grounds of mitzvah bar b'aveira. First, Tosfos says that maybe mitzvah bar b'aveira is only a problem d'rabbanon, and here we're talking d'araisa. Then Tosfos says maybe it is Daraisa and distinguishes between within that itself. Was there Yiyush? Was the Yiyush and Shinu Rishus? Was there did he make Tzitzis or the lulav before or after the sukkah before or after the thing was stolen, etc. So therefore we need the pasuk lacha for certain cases of a stolen sukkah to say that it would be possible. So the question then is, Hosam Nami Miboilam Utzula. No, and by tzitzis you don't need that. If you steal wool and make it into tzitzis, you're also gonna have the same problem. The answer is Hosam Sukrachrinov Osulahem. Yeah, but there you have a different pasuk where it says right at the beginning of the parasha of Tzitzis, they should make for themselves, meaning Mishalahem, meaning already that tells us that it has to be yours, that a person can't steal wool and make tzitzis from it. But so the other lacha by tzitzis, gedilim tasa lacha, teaches you that it has to be done for the sake of the mitzvah. Whereas by sukkah, it just says chag sukkah tasa lacha one time, and that tells you that you have to make it for the purpose of the mitzvah. That tells you rather that it can't be stolen, but not that it has to be made for the purpose of the mitzvah, which is like this hillel and not like this shachar. Okay. Mishnah says, Amud Beis. If a person makes a sukkah under a tree, it's as if he made it inside the house. Which means, of course, it's possible. The Gemara is going to explain why say it that way. Why not just say psula? Now, what we're going to have is, throughout the sugya, we're going to have, this is one of the more complicated sugyas in Masech the Sukkah, and the reason why it's complicated is because there are a lot of different explanations from the Foshim, although a lot of different opinions among the Rishonim about various details in it, when we say that something is possible, on what grounds is it possible? So the Mishnah continues, Sukkah al gabei sukkah, if you have one sukkah on top of another, the top one is kosher, because fine, it's within 20 amas of the ground, and it has proper schach, therefore it's kosher. The bottom one is possible because it has two schachs. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, you can only be sitting under one schach. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not possible to live in the top one, and we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Then the bottom one is kosher, because then you can't call it that it's under two sukkahs. That's under two schachim. Now, one of the first points of machloikas between the Rishonim and our sugya is when you have, for example, a sukkah under a tree, is the fundamental problem that you have sukkah al gabei sukkah, that in effect you have schach on top of schach, because we're going to learn later in the parak, of course, that branches that are attached to a tree are not considered valid schach, but nevertheless, in a certain sense, we can say that you have a kind of schach over here, or with the roof of a house, for that matter. You have something that's providing shade, which is the essential function of schach, and then you have the schach of your sukkah underneath it. And therefore, it would be possible on the grounds of sukkah shetachas ha-sukkah, which is the second case of the Mishnah, sukkah agave sukkah. Or is it that the problem is because the top schach is schach posel? So that's the first issue that's going to make a difference throughout the sugya over here of how we understand different parts of it. So that, in other words, what it means is if you make a sukkah under a tree, it means it's possible. But the question is going to be, why does it need to say that? Why doesn't it say sukkah, how is it sukkah tachas ha'ilam psula? Why say ki'ilu asal v'seich habayis? So that's going to be one thing that the Gemara is going to take up. And then, so again, the question is going to be, part of the question that Rishonim discuss is, are we saying that if a person makes a sukkah under a tree or under a house, the problem is that he has, in effect, sukkah al gabei sukkah? And that's the problem, that he's sitting under two schachs. Or is it not? It's the problem because the roof of the house or the branches of the tree are posel schach. That's going to make a difference as far as certain details that we're going to talk about. So Omar Rava, lo shanu ela be'ilan shetzilos merubah mechamaseh. The problem that we're talking about over here is only when the tree has so many branches that you have more shade, from it than sun. But if the branches of the tree are very sparse, and with the tree itself you would only have more sun than shade, then the sukkah underneath it is kosher. And he says, Mimai, how do we know that? Because after all, the Mishnah didn't just say outright that if it's under a tree, it's possible. It said, it says, if it made it in the, as if he made it in the house. Now, lomali the misni kilo asav is ekabayis. Why use that phrasing? Listni psula. Why just say straight out that it's possible? Elaha kamashmalan. So rather, the chiddush the Mishnah is what the Mishnah wants to tell us is the ilan dumya debayis. When is there a problem with a tree? Only if the tree is similar to a house. A house usually has a solid roof over it, and the shade is more than the sun. Therefore, also the tree means that you have the shade of it, it provides more shade than sun. Of course, a bias is possible because it's not temporary, right? But the question is, and a tree is possible because, as we're going to learn later, branches that are attached to a tree are not kosher for schach, because the Torah tells us it has to be psilus gurdin v'yekev. It has to be like what's left over from the wine press or from the threshing floor, where by that time you have the grapevines or the straw from the grain or whatever is detached from the ground, right? Of course, the question is. There's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is the problem is that we are to that extent considering the sukkah as if the branches of it were schach. Well, sorry, the tree. We're considering the tree or the house as if the branches of it or the roof of it was schach. And therefore, what you have is you have a sukkah under a sukkah. And the Mishnah is telling us that in that case, the bottom sukkah is possible because, as we're going to learn soon, you have to be under one schach, not two. Or the other way of understanding it is the problem is not that you have sukkah under a sukkah, but rather the fact that you have kosher schach underneath posel schach. And according to that way of looking at it, what's going to happen is that every bit of kosher schach that is under posel schach is going to be considered as if it wasn't there.
No,
it has to be temporary. Of course it has. Of course it's shy. But right now we're trying to figure out why is it definitely a sukkah inside the house is possible, and definitely a sukkah under a tree is possible. But why? What is the reason behind it? Because it's a sukkah under a sukkah, or because it's a sukkah under posel schach? So, for example, according to the second way, if you say that it's because it's under posel schach, what's going to happen is you think about it. If you have, let's say, if your bottom sukkah has enough schach to provide shade all by itself, should the thing above it be a problem? Later on, the Gemara is going to talk about that conceivably you could have a case where you have both sukkahs, where a sukkah underneath another sukkah, where both of them are actually kosher. So if you're going to say that the problem over here is only a sukkah underneath a sukkah, then if the sukkah itself has tzilasa merubah mechamasa, and the thing above it, the tree or the house, is not chamasa merubah mechamasa, maybe there wouldn't be a problem. On the other hand, the other way of looking at it is that, no, we're going to say every bit of kosher schach that is underneath posel schach is as if it wasn't there. So now, if you have, therefore, sukkah under the branches of a tree, and you subtract all the areas over which there are branches, then you may well end up with not enough sukkah, with not enough schach on the bottom sukkah. And that would be the problem. Whereas if we said it was only the problem because of sukkah underneath a sukkah, the upper thing, the branches or the house, wouldn't be considered a sukkah because the amount, they don't give enough shade for it to be considered any kind of sukkah. So that's the thing over here. You have an opinion of the Rav Yoh and a number of other Rishonim that learn that the problem is that you have schach posel over here. And then you have Rashi seems to be saying that the problem is more that the problem is more of sukkah of a sukkah underneath another sukkah. On the other hand, later on in the sugya, Rashi says a little bit differently, and the Rav Yoh says that actually Rashi may have changed his mind. Tosfos also discusses over here at some length what we're talking about over here about this matter of whether we say that the schach posel is mevatel the schach kosher that's underneath it, or whether we whether we're just saying that's a problem of a sukkah underneath a sukkah. So let's go on in the Gemara. And
If you say that it's because the schach could be possible, then you have to say also it depends on the type of tree. Some trees is going to be enough shade, others won't.
That's exactly the distinction Rava was making. Does the tree itself provide more shade than sun, or does it not? So again,
depending on the tree, you have pine trees which provide shade, and oak trees that don't provide shade.
Listen to what Rava had said. The case of the Mishnah where the sukkah is possible is only where the tree provides more shade than sun, for example, like you're saying, a pine tree. But if the tree itself is providing only more sun than shade, meaning, for example, the branches are very sparse, then he's saying shade. So now the question is, so let's go on, and let's go on, and as we go through the sugya, we'll try to clarify this a little more. So the Gemara says, so Rava had made a distinction between whether it provides a lot of shade or a little shade, and the reason is because since the Mishnah compares it to being in a house has more shade than sun. So the question is, going back to the tree, so what if the tree is very sparse and it doesn't provide very much shade? It should still be posel anyway. Isn't kosher schach combining together with posel schach? And therefore what you have is the two of them together are providing shade on your sukkah, and that should be reason enough for it to be posel. So Amar Rav Papa b'shechovtan. So Rav Papa says, right, but the case of the Mishnah is talking about where chovtan. Now there are a number of opinions. Again, there's a number of opinions among Rishonim what the word chovtan means. Does it mean Rashi over here says it means that he pulled down the branches and mixed them with the schach of the sukkah. So therefore, you don't really notice them by themselves. So therefore, the kosher schach is mevatalit. There are a few other explanations of the word chavtan, and Rashi mentions a couple of them. He says that it means, some other mefarshim he says means that it means he cut the branches off the tree, or that he shook the branches in order to get all the leaves off. And Rashi rejects those explanations. However, those explanations are agreed to by some other Rishonim. For example, the Baal Amar explains shechavtan as meaning that he shook the tree to get all the leaves off, and therefore by doing that he's showing that he doesn't really want the shade of the tree to affect his sukkah. There are other Rishonim that talk about chavtan meaning cutting them off, etc. There's like four different explanations. So the question is, ibish chavtan maila memra. In that case, if he did chavtan, then what the chiddush? Why does Rava need to tell us that it's kosher, and why does the Mishnah need to imply by trying to compare it to a house that it's kosher? In this case, again, Rashi's shitta is the whole problem was two different schachs. Here you no longer have two different schachs because the branches of the tree are down below. They're mixed together with the kosher schach. Therefore, you don't have two different levels of schach. So what's the problem? And the answer is, you would have thought, nigzer hecha de chavtan, otter hecha de lechavtan, maybe we should make a gzera that even when you lowered them and mixed them with the schach, maybe you should consider that you should make a gzera because you might confuse it with the case where you didn't, and then it would be possible. Kamash malon de legazrinan. So therefore, Rava wants to tell us and tells us that the implication of the Mishnah is that that we're not making such a gzera. As long as chavtan, then it's fine because the schach kosher is a majority and therefore it's mevatalit. They talk about, isn't there a problem of you're not allowed to be mevatel isurim? And there's a number of different answers given to that. Among them, it's not really osur. We're not talking about something which is osur. We're just talking about something, whether it's kosher for schach or not. So you can't really call it mevatel isur l'hatchila. Another answer is we're talking about where you do it before Yom Tov, and therefore b'chlal, the whole thing is not coming into play yet. There's no osur and mutter because you're not chayiv in sukkah before Yom Tov. And another explanation is because mitzvah slav lehonis nitnu, and therefore you can't say that you're really having hanah from it. In any case, again, according to Rashi's shitta, the original problem with the tree was that you have two levels of schach, and therefore if you're lowering the branches down, if you're pulling the branches down and mixing them with your kosher schach, as long as you have a majority of kosher schach, then you're fine, and then the kosher schach is mevatel the posel schach, and you don't have two levels of schach. According to the opinions that the problem to begin with was not a sukkah on top of another sukkah, but rather the fact that you have schach posel over your schach kosher. So again, one possibility is because you brought it down, now they're not at different levels. Therefore the kosher can be mevatel the posel, or because you shook the tree to get all the leaves off. Therefore you show you don't want that shade of the sukkah. You don't want that shade of the tree. And therefore, in effect, you're mevatel it. And then you have, again, the different explanations of how exactly this would work. And again, one idea is, according to the opinion that we said before, that the problem is sukkah, that the problem is schach kosher, above schach posel, above schach kosher, then the vote would be, if you had schach posel above the schach kosher, then every place where you have schach posel would be mevatel, the schach kosher that's underneath it. But because you have them mixed together, then therefore it's not doing that, and therefore you just look at the majority, and the majority is schach kosher, and therefore you're good. The Baal Amor has a different shit on it. He learns also that there's a difference which one came first, the kosher schach or the tree. So far that's what we're saying. In other words, so far what Rava is telling us is if the tree provides more shade than sun, then you have a problem. If the tree provides more sun than shade, meaning the branches are very sparse, then it'll be kosher because you're mixing it with or you're shaking off the leaves or cutting them off or whatever, and therefore it combines with the schach kosher, and if not, and it's bottle, but if not, then not. Okay, so the Gemara says honami tanena. Still, why does Rava need to tell us that? That also, we learn that concept later in the parak. We have we're going to learn tomorrow, Best Hashem. Hidla la a gef, and if a person had his sukkah already built, and then he spread over it a grapevine. So he pulled the grapevine like this. It's lying all over the ground because grapevines don't have strong branches. They lie on the ground unless you put them up on trellis or something. So now he took those branches that are still attached to the grapevine and draped them over his sukkah. There's a glass, or he did the same thing with a pumpkin plant, which also has very long branches and runners. There's a kisos, or ivy. All of those, the same kind of thing. They're all attached to the ground, and he draped them over his sukkah. Psula. So the Mishnah said, the sikkah chagabon, and then he put schach on top of them, psula. The imahoya sikkah harimehen. But if you had more schach than the grapevine or the ivy or whatever, or if he chopped them off, ksheira, then it's kosher. So now, continues the Gemara, heichidami. So now, when you're telling me that it's kosher if you have more schach than them, even though you didn't cut them off, what would that be? Are you talking about where he didn't chavdan, which again, according to Rashi, means that you actually lowered the branches and mixed them together with the kosher schach? Then how could it be? It would be possible. How come it's not a schach possible in schach kosher? Wouldn't you be back to the problem that you're making schach out of something attached to the ground? And again, you have to have that. You have a problem of sukkah underneath a sukkah, or of the upper schach of the schach possible being the vatel, the schach kosher that's underneath it. Obviously, the Mishnah there has to be talking about where he lowered them down. He took the grapevine and blended the branches of it that are still attached with the schach that he has on a sukkah. And Ushmamin of the Loy Gazrinan. So automatically we see from that you're not making Zera on that. So why does Rava need to tell us in the case over here where you're building a sukkah under the tree that the same thing applies? And the answer is Ma'udatema, Hanim Yilibidiyevid. Yeah, but if we only had the Mishnah there later, you would say that the Diyevid, then it's fine. Aval hatchila loy. Maybe lachatchila you're not allowed to. Kamashmalan. Therefore, our Mishnah tells us, and Rava spells out what the Mishnah is implying, that it means even lachatchila. Now, lachatchila and v'di'eved, not all the mafoshim agree that it means lachatchila you're allowed to build the sukkah that way. It may mean you shouldn't build the sukkah that way in the first place. But if you do, then lachatchila you're allowed to go in there and make the brachas and then sit in the sukkah and eat there and so forth. We're not going to say that once the sukkah was made, better you shouldn't use it, and only if you have no other sukkah available should you use it. We would say that lachatchila you're allowed to as well because you mevatel the branches or because you shook off the leaves or cut off the branches or whatever according to the different explanations of chavtan. So again, it comes out. So the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch summarizes. It takes him 11 sifim to go through, or 10 sifim actually from Sif Beis until Yud Aleph to discuss the ins and outs of these dinim. Because again, you have two major opinions about it. You have a is it that it, Is it that the issue is always that you have schach posel above schach kosher, and therefore every part of a schach kosher is considered, which is underneath schach posel, is considered as though it wasn't there. So therefore, even you have a tree with sparse branches, for example, from the point of view of the tree itself, that's not considered schach. But the problem is, wherever you have a branch of the tree, you're going to have to look at the schach underneath it and consider as though that schach wasn't there. And therefore, once you subtract all those areas of schach, you're going to end up that you don't have enough schach on the sukkah. And therefore, the only way it could be, the only ways it could be good is either if you have so much schach, either the branches are so sparse of the tree that even if you subtract everything that's under the branches, you're still going to have tilosa merubah mechamasa in the sukkah itself. Or as we're saying in the Gemara over here, that you bend down the branches of the tree and mix them with the schach kosher, and then it can be bottle. Which, again, a reason why that should work, a reason why you should be able to move about it, is because you're not having hanah from the isser. But you still have to have, again, that the sukkah itself has enough kosher schach to be all by itself kosher. And then, in all of that, in the first opinion, if the tree itself is tzilosim merubah mechamasa, that alone is going to be reason to passel it, and bitul beroiv is not going to help. Because then, in effect, the shade of the kosher one is not really helping anything, because every place where you have is going to be misbato by the posel schach, by the tree, or whatever above it. So, then the Alter Rebbe goes on to bring the second opinion, which is Rashi's opinion, and then Tosfos discusses it over here also, although again it seems from later in the Sugya that maybe Rashi changed his mind, which says that the problem is not really, that the schach kosher is mevatel and schach kosher that was underneath it. It's rather that the problem is only sukkah tachas a sukkah. So if you have the branches mixed together, then they can combine together, and they can even help towards tzilosa merubah mechamasa, because they're mixed together and therefore they're batel. And then if you have, and again, if they're not mixed together, if it's above it, then we don't say, according to the second opinion, that any schach possible is possibly the schach kosher underneath it. Rather, we say we look at whether the sukkah itself has tzilos merubah mechamasa without considering the branches. So there's a lot more to say about that, but we have to get going, and it's a little hard to keep track of the different shittas over here, but that's a basic understanding of it. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had continued. Sukkah of Gabi Sukkah before. We said a sukkah on top of the sukkah, then we said that the bottom one is posel, but the top one is kosher. So Tana Rabbanan, the posuk says basukas teshvu. The posuk says you should sit in sukkas, implying in one sukkah. We're going to see soon. Isn't basukas plural? But the loy basukas shetachas a sukkah. It's not in one sukkah underneath another sukkah. The loy basukas shetachas a ilan, not a sukkah under a tree. The loy basukas shabasei habayis, and not a sukkah inside a house. So in other words, again, we have to remember, according to Rashi's Shitta, this and what we were talking about before amounts to the same thing. The problem with a sukkah under a tree is that in effect it's a sukkah under a sukkah. Whereas according to the first opinion, there were two different issues. The first one is that you have schach posel counteracting any schach kosher that's underneath it. And now we're talking about a different issue, which is that in any case, a sukkah can't be underneath another sukkah, even where both sets of schach are kosher. Right. So there are Rav Yos says that Rashi changed his mind. There are other Mepharshim learn that not necessarily. So the question is Adrabah Basukkos Tauti Mashma. What do you mean that implies you have to sit only under one sukkah? Adrabah, the word Basukkos sounds like it implies two sukkahs. The answer is Amar of Nachman Yitzchok Basukkas. Sure, but it says Basukkas, we talked about the other day, that you have the second Vav is missing, and therefore we can read it as though it was Lashon Yachid. So the other day, we had on Dach Vav, we had Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, about how we learned from that how many walls the sukkah needs to have. But even when we said, even if we darshin, according to the way the word is read, Basukkos, we still have to say there's a reason why it was written Chosr. After all, Hashem could have told Moshe to write it Moleh, and therefore from that we're darshining that you can only be under one shade of a sukkah at a time. So Rav Yirmiyah says, actually, it's not so simple. So you can have scenarios where both sukkahs, where both sukkahs are kosher. Pa'amim sheshtein psulos. Sometimes you can have both of them apostle. Pa'amim shkatonik shedav el yonah psula. Sometimes the other way around, the bottom one can be kosher and the top one apostle. Pa'amim shkatonik psula el yonah shedav. And then you can have the case of our Mishnah where the bottom one is apostle and the top one is kosher. So let's go through the scenarios. Pa'amim sheshtein shedav es hechidami. What's a scenario where both of them are going to be kosher? You can have a case where the bottom one, where the bottom one by itself does not have enough schach to provide more shade than sun. The bottom one has very sparse schach. The top one has tzilasa meruba mechamasa. The kaima el yonah b'seich esrim, and the upper one is within 20 amos. So therefore, what happens is, in effect, you only have one sukkah over here. In effect, we ignore the schach of the bottom sukkah, because not enough to constitute schach anyhow. And therefore we say that both sukkahs are becoming kosher using the schach of the top one. So therefore both of them are kosher. So what it means is, in other words, so when you're sitting in the bottom one, if nobody is upstairs in the top one, then you, in effect, you're using the schach of the top one, and that's your sukkah. And if there are people in the top one, then the same way they're using the schach of their top sukkah. Obviously, then you would have, if there are people in the top one, and you're going to be sitting in the bottom one, then you're going to have the same problem again of schach posel, because the people or the tables or whatever that are there are not going to be schach kosher. Okay. Pa'amim sheshtein. So that's a case where both of them are going to be both kosher. Pa'amim sheshtein psula is hechidami. What's a scenario where both of them are posel? Suppose that both of them provide more shade than sun. The top one is more than 20 amos off the ground. So now you have the bottom one is posel because you're underneath two schachs, and the top one is posel because it's above 20 amos. Here you have in these cases you have different gersos, and Tosfos discusses a gersa over here that we could be talking about even in when the top sukkah is taller than 20 amos, you might say the top one is not really when we say that the top one is more than 20 amos tall, not necessarily does that make that the schach of it is considered schach posel, because the schach in and of itself is kosher schach. It's just higher off the ground than it should be. But maybe the fact that it's above 20 amos does not in and of itself make it schach posel. Tosfos discusses. Anyway. So far you have where both of them can be kosher, where both of them can be posel. Next, pomim shtachtein kosher vel yonah psula. You can have a case where the bottom one is kosher, the top one is posel. Hechi dami, what's the scenario? Gun shtachtein tzilasa meruba mechamasa. Suppose the bottom one has more shade than sun. So far so good. It has enough schach. The el yonah chamasa meruba mechilasa. The top one not only has not enough schach for its own shade, so it doesn't have enough to provide itself shade, but both of them are within 20 amos of the ground. So the bottom one is not becoming posel because above it is schach posel, because the top one is within 20 amos, and therefore that can't be considered schach posel. So here's where Tosfos is saying that maybe you could say that even the top one is above 20 amos, maybe that's not considered schach posel for our purposes. Maybe schach posel only means when the schach intrinsically is posel, like branches of a tree that are still attached, like we said before, like the roof of a house, but not when it's above 20 amos, where there it's just a matter that it's too high up. So maybe that doesn't pass all the one underneath it. Then you can have a case with it, which is the case of the Mishnah, where the top one is kosher, the bottom one is posel. Hechi dami, what's the scenario? You're going to tavay with tzilos and meruba mechamosan. Suppose that both of them have more shade than sun. But kaimel yonah b'seich esrim, and both of them are within 20 amos. So now the bottom one is going to be a sukkah underneath another sukkah. And we said before, the pasuk is telling you that you can only be under one sach. The top one is going to be kosher because it's within 20 amos. So you have all four possibilities. So the Gemara asks, now that Rav Yumi has spelled out for us, pshita, isn't that obvious? Once we know the basic parameters, that a sukkah has to be less than 20 amos tall, that you can't be under two schachs, and that the schach posel above schach kosher is a problem. So obviously we can figure all these four cases out for ourselves. What's Rav Yumi's chiddush? The answer is tachtonik sheder v'elyon psula. It's like the chiddush that Rav Yumi is telling us is the third case where the bottom one is kosher and the top one is posel. Where we said, again, the case was where the bottom one has enough schach to give more shade than sun. The top one only has very sparse schach. And then again, you have the different geruses over here, whether we're talking about the upper one is within 20 amos or above 20 amos. The thing is, maudetema, you would have thought to say, nigzer dumum et staref schach posel bahadi schach kosher. Maybe we should make a gzeda, the bottom one should be posel, because what if the top one is above 20 amos? And he's going to think, it doesn't matter, that the bottom one has schach of its own, and therefore I don't care about the top one. And then you're going to have that the bottom one is going to be posel because it has schach more than 20 amos above the ground above it. Kamash Malon, therefore, Rav Yumi wants to tell us, you don't have to worry about that, and you are allowed to have the sukkah in that case. According to Tosfos' explanation that the top one is in fact above 20 amos, you would have thought that then maybe that is considered schach posel. And therefore we're saying that no, the definition of schach posel is only when the schach is intrinsically posel. For example, it's made out of, it doesn't grow from the ground, or it's still attached to the ground, or whatever. But no, it's makabel tumah, but not when it's just above 20 amos. Okay. Now, we said, so we're talking about these sukkahs over a sukkah underneath another sukkah. Now, obviously, if all the schach is together, then we don't care how thick it is. We're not going to say that it's possible a sukkah underneath a sukkah if you have a very thick layer of schach. So the question becomes, kama yehebin sukkah la sukkah, or teitach turn psula? In the cases, such as in the case of our Mishnah, or of Yumi's fourth case, where the bottom sukkah is in fact posel because of the upper sukkah above it, how much vertical distance does there have to be between one set of schach and another set of schach for it to be a problem? Amar Rav Huna tefach. So Rav Huna says all you need is one tefach. Shekein matzino, but all tuma tefach. Because we find, similarly, when it comes to an oihel for tuma, when you have, for example, a kazayis of a mess, that if you have an oihel above it of a tuma tefach, that a tefach is considered significant for that purpose. The Tanya, or the Tanan really, it's a Mishnah. Tefach al tefach berum tefach, maybe as a tuma, but choytetz b'fnat tuma. If you have a kazayis of a mess and you have above it is an oihel which is a tefach by a tefach by a tefach, then maybe it's a tumah. That brings tumah to other things that are underneath the same oil. Meaning, like this, if you had a tumah which was not underneath an oil, then it would be called tumah ritzutza, which literally means a crushed tumah. What happens then is, the din is, the tumah just goes straight up and straight down. So if you directly overshadow it, you're going to become tamei. If you have a keli directly overshadowing it, then it's going to become tamei. Or vice versa, if you have a keli or a person directly underneath it, but not from the side. Even if you're next to that tumah, or keli is next to that tumah, nothing's going to happen. But if you have tefach al tefach al rum tefach, that brings the tumah from one place to another, meaning that now if you are standing, let's say, under the same roof with this mess, then you're going to become tumah. The choytetz, but now tumah, and it also blocks tumah, for example, from going to the next floor up. So therefore, so you see over there that a tefach is enough to be considered significant. Therefore, the same thing, Rav Huna says, the same thing with our two schachs over here. If you have a problem with, if you're going to say that there's a problem with two schachs, one above the other, it's only going to be a problem if they're at least a tefach apart. Avo pochus mirum tefach le'mevi v'le'choitzes. But if you have less than a tefach, it doesn't bring tumah from one place to another horizontally. It doesn't block the tumah from going up or down vertically. So therefore, the same thing over here, you need a tefach difference. So we said that because
if they're both less than the amount, it's less than the add up,
So that's the thing we were talking about. That what you have is like this. Well, first of all, you have different opinions between Rashi and Tosfos, but let's just talk according to the Gemara as we have it in front of us over here. If you have that the top sukkah, if you have the case we said where the bottom one is possible is as follows. One was where the upper one is, where according to Rashi's view, anyway, one was where the upper one is more than 20 amos off the ground. So the bottom one is however tall, and then the top one is that the schach of the top one winds up being 20 amos off the ground. So therefore, it's possible in the sukkah underneath it. The other way was where the bottom, because what happens then is that you're sitting underneath two schachs, and the second schach is possible because it's above 20 amos. And the other way, we said the bottom one is possible, is where both of them have more shade than sun, and therefore the problem is that now you're sitting, so now you're sitting under two schachs, and we said before, the word basukos means that you can sit only on the one schach at a time.
And if both of them are less than...
If the top one is within 20 amos, yes, they can add up. If they're above 20 amos, then no, they can't. At least according to Rashi, yeah. But in any case, so Rav Huna is saying now that you don't even need that the top one has to be a functional sukkah. Just the fact that it's a tefach, that the top schach is a tefach above the bottom schach is enough to make it. Just like we see by an oil atoma, that a tefach makes a difference, so it would be also over here that a tefach would make a difference. So therefore, what you have is two schachs that you're sitting under, and again, if, as we said before, both of them are tzilosim and rubim and chamasa, then you have a problem. And again, we said if the bottom one is chamasa merubah mitzibasa, then fine. We ignore that one. You're only sitting under the top sach. And if the top one, and all of that, according to Rashi, anyway, is only if the top one is within 20 amos. If it's above 20 amos, then you have another problem.
Close to each other within a tefach.
Within a tefach, then we would consider it just one thick thing of sach. That's according to Rav Huna. Rav Chista and Rav Bar Huna Amri Arba. Rav Chista and Rav Bar Huna say no. It's one tefach is not enough. You need four tefachim. So why not say makom choshev pachas na'aba? We never find in halacha that a place is considered important as, for example, a shus of its own as far as Shabbos, unless it's at least four tefachim. So therefore, you have to have four tefachim vertical distance between one schach and another for there to be a problem. Any less than that, they say, and it would be considered like one thick schach. Or Shmuel Amar Asara, whereas Shmuel says that you need 10 tefachim. My time of the Shmuel, and why does Shmuel say that? Because he says kach sheder kach psula, because the same criteria that you need for a sukkah to be kosher is the same criteria that you're going to need to make one a sukkah underneath another sukkah possible. Mahach sheder basara, to have a kosher a sukkah, we said before, you need 10 tefachim. Af psula basara, the same way for an upper sukkah to passel a bottom sukkah, it has to be 10 tefachim. It has to be 10 tefachim different.
That makes sense.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see which of the three opinions it fits according to. We said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in Ein Giyurin Bel Yonah, Rabbi Yehuda said, if you can't live in the top one, Hatachtoina Ksheira, then the bottom one is kosher. Now, granted, Rabbi Yehuda holds, like we said before, that a sukkah needs to be a Yeras Keva. The Chachamim disagree with that. But once we understand what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, then we will be able to understand, based on that, what the Chachamim are saying against him. So, my ein diurin. So we have to figure out what does Rabbi Yehuda mean by the words ein diurin. E lema diurin mamish. Do you mean literally that people are not living upstairs? Usually in Gemara terminology, diurin or doyurin, whatever, means the actual residence. So do you mean that Rabbi Yehuda is saying if there are no residents in the top one, otu diurin kogami? What does it mean? It doesn't matter whether anybody is actually residing in the top sukkah or not. The difference is how they were constructed, not whether actually anybody is up there. So what would it mean according to Rabbi Yehuda that you can't live there? It would mean when it's not suitable to live in. Meaning when it's less than 10 tefachim. So Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that if it's less than 10 tefachim between the bottom sukkah and the top one, then the bottom one is kosher, because then you can't live in the top one because it's less than 10 tefachim tall, and it's what we called a few days ago in the Gemara, Dira Srucha, a repulsive dwelling. Nobody lives in a dwelling below 10 tefachim. So the implication seems to be the Tanakama, obviously Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama have to be disagreeing on something. So therefore that would imply that the Tanakama is saying that even though there's less than 10 tefachim between them, still the bottom one is possible. So how can Shmuel say that you need a difference of 10 tefachim for there to be a problem? So the Gemara says, Ki Oser Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Amri B'mar Rava, they said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, let's define what we mean by Diyurin over here. According to Rashi, the Gemara is coming to answer what Shmuel is saying. That, like this, we thought that the word diurin refers to whether the top one is 10 tefachim tall or not. Rav Dimi is going to give us a different definition. It depends on how strong the schach in between, the schach of the bottom sukkah, which is the floor of the top sukkah, how strong it is. And therefore, nothing to do with 10 tefachim or not, and therefore the mission doesn't contradict Shmuel. There are Rishonim who learn, and there are like this, the Rambam and the Mechaber Paskin like Shmuel, but there are other Rishonim who Paskin like one of the other opinions, and they say, for example, they're the four Tvachim, and so they say the Gemara did not answer the question on Shmuel. You're right, you're left with the question. Separately, the Gemara is mentioning what does it mean that when Rabbi Yehuda says Imein Diyurin Bel Yonah. According to that way of looking at it, in other words, it's true, the top sukkah, for it to be a problem for the bottom sukkah, could make a problem even if it's less than 10 tefachim, not like Shmuel says. But then there's a different definition we can say of diurin or not diurin. Meaning, ki osir b'dimi oma amri b'ma rava, im ena tachtoni yecholo l'kabo korim uksoses shelo yona, if the bottom one is not able to hold up the pillows and the cushion that you're bringing in the top one, then Rabbi Yehuda is saying the bottom one is kosher. According to Rashi, what we're saying is, when we say im ein diyurin vel yona, we're b'chlal not talking about how tall the top sukkah is. It's a given that, like Shmuel says, it has to be 10 tefachim, otherwise it can't be a valid sukkah at all. What we're talking about, though, is Rabbi Yehuda would say that if the floor between them, the schach of the bottom one, which is the floor of the top one, is so weak that if you put in pillows or cushions, the schach is going to fall down, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that the bottom one is kosher because you can't consider it to be a sukkah underneath another sukkah because the top one, in effect, is not able to function as a sukkah. So the Gemara says, "Miklal the Tanakama Sava Afkishen Ruila Kabel Sula." So what do you mean? And the Tanakama would say that even in that case, the bottom one should be possible. Why? If the floor is that weak, surely you can't consider the top one to be a sukkah at all. The answer is, "Ikibinau diyichol a kabel idea chak." Yeah, but the nafkamina between them would be, what if it's just barely able to? So let's say, for example, so you put the pillows and the cushions in it. And the schach, let's say, bends in, but it doesn't actually fall down. So now, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a sukkah is supposed to be giras keva, so he's going to hold that's not a kvius, and therefore the top one is not functioning as a sukkah. Therefore, the bottom one is kosher. Whereas the Chachamim are going to say a sukkah is only giras ara anyway. It doesn't matter if the floor sways, and therefore the top one is going to be functional as a sukkah, and therefore you have the problem of a sukkah underneath another sukkah. Because we're saying, even you can't put the pillows over there, because in other words, you could have a person, people come in many different weights. So you could have, for example, the schach is strong enough to hold the pillows, and let's say a lightweight person is able to go in there. But if you have, let's say, even you put in just the pillows alone, and the schach starts.
Like the couch.
Yeah, and then you so
the dining room table with the bed on pillows.
Yeah. They reclining on couches, we're saying over here, korim uksoses means only the pillows, the pashtus, not the furniture. But yeah, there is actually an interesting point in this also, the Mordechai brings, that if a person builds a sukkah in a place where he's not going to be able to sleep in it, for example, because he's afraid of ganavim, then he's not able to eat in such a sukkah either, because a sukkah has to be usable for all the purposes of a sukkah. So our Gemara over here bears on that. We were saying, for example, that you can't even bring in pillows and you can't even bring in pillows to sleep because already the schach is going to fall down. So therefore, that's a reason to say that even, let's say you had, fine, when it comes to eating, let's say you don't need to bring in pillows over there. You yourself are a lightweight person, let's say, and you can step carefully and you can manage to stay in the top sukkah. Nevertheless, we're saying that it wouldn't be considered a valid sukkah.
Right, a person maybe because a person can stand on the beams.
A person can stand on the beams or a person
can
right.
stay on the beams.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. Right. But you notice over here that you have the halacha is like Shmuel, you have the days over there by Shmuel's opinion, and you also have the point about him ena tachtoni yechavo korim uksoses. So again, one way of understanding it is that Rav Dimi is coming to answer Shmuel that we're talking about the top one is indeed 10 tefachim or more tall, because if it was less than 10 tefachim, there wouldn't be a problem, and that it's also only a problem also only if the schach is at least if the schach between them is at least able to hold up pillows and is at least able to hold up pillows and cushions. Again, you have somebody showing him that understand that those two things are that those are two separate things. The halacha they say is not like Shmuel. The halacha is like one of the other opinions. But we're saying, let's say for example, according to Rav Chista, that the problem is if it's four tefachim, but now four tefachim obviously you can't use it as a sukkah. But if you can't even put pillows up there without the schach falling in, then you can't consider the top one to be a problem at all. And therefore, even if there's four tefachim vertical distance, then there wouldn't be a problem, and the bottom one would be kosher on the grounds that it's underneath the schach of the top one. Okay. The Mishnah said.
So we
passed in and practiced like Shmuel that you need 10 tefachim between them, and if it's less than 10 tefachim, there's not a problem. But we say also that even if there's 10 tefachim, if the floor between them is so weak that you can't even put pillows over there, then the bottom one is also kosher. And again, we had one of Rav Yumi's scenarios where actually both of them can be kosher, where the bottom one has, where we said the bottom one has very sparse schach, the top one has proper schach, and they're both within 20 amos, so then in effect you're not really using, in that case, in effect they're not really two separate sukkahs at all, it's in effect one big sukkah. And then, and they're, and they're for its kosher. Call him Moshe Gede. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Perasalah Sodan Mitneachava. Suppose a person spread out a sheet over the schach because of the sun. Now, he wants to protect himself from the sun. Or he puts it underneath it because he doesn't want leaves to fall into his food. Well, meaning, right, but the point is, so here also you have two different explanations among the Rishonim. Do we mean because of the sun, in other words, because fine, he has enough shade on his sukkah already for it to be kosher, but he's still bothered by the fact that there's some sun coming in, so he puts over it a sheet in order to screen out the rest of the sunlight? Or is it, Tosfos brings an explanation, that Nechama is that the problem is he's concerned the sun beating down on a sukkah is going to dry up the schach and more of it is going to fall off and eventually it's going to be chamasa merubah mitzilasa. And the same thing, Nifnei Nishur, also you have the two different understandings. Does it mean he's putting it over there because he wants to protect his food from getting leaves into it? Or is it that he wants to protect the schach from becoming posel because leaves are going to fall off because the sun is going to dry them up? Or another possibility is if you spread out a sheet above a kinoif, which is a canopy bed, a four-poster bed, so therefore the top of the canopy is horizontal, and now he's inside an oiho, which is inside the sukkah, psula, then in all those cases it's possible. He's not sitting in a sukkah. But he's allowed to spread out a sheet over a two-poster bed where you only have one pillar, you have one post that both at each end, and therefore the sheet that goes on it ends up being like a tent that's peaked on top, and therefore you don't have an oil tefa, therefore you don't have an oil tefa for there to be a problem. So again, if we say like Rashi, so again, this has to do with the machlokes before about schach kosher and schach posel, about the mechanism why schach posel was passeling kosher schach. If we say that the problem is because the schach posel was passeling anything that's underneath it, then that's the problem over here. You have a sheet on the sukkah, then anything that's underneath that sheet is going to be posel. On the other hand, according to Tosfos' explanation, the problem is that the sheet is causing you to have tzilasa merubah mechamasai. In other words, if without the sheet, you would anyway have tzilasa merubah mechamasai. Let's say you use the kind of schach that we use nowadays, where no matter how much the sun beats down on it, you're not going to have a problem. Then, according to that, putting a sheet might not be a problem. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, le'shonu elam epnei nishur. This that was saying that there's a problem if you're putting up a sheet is only if you're putting it, for example, like we said, because the leaves are going to fall off. Avalon ha'oisak sheder, but if you're putting it to decorate the sukkah, then the sukkah is kosher. Amar says, pshita, epnei nishur. Now, of course, the Mishnah had said that you're putting it over there because leaves are going to fall. So, of course, if you're putting it for a different purpose. The answer is, ma'u detema, if Rav Chista didn't tell us, you would have thought, hu adin da'afilu min ha'oisa, maybe even if you're putting it there to decorate it, it would also be possible. V'hai de'katani m'fnan ashar o'cha de'mil se'katani. So the reason why it mentioned you're putting it because of leaves is just because that's the usual reason you would put a sheet there. But in fact, it would be possible no matter what reason you put the sheet for. Kamash malan, therefore, Rav Chista wants to tell us, not so. You are allowed to put up decorations underneath your schach, and they don't possible the sukkah. So we'll continue on that. We'll continue on that point tomorrow. That's the Shem, and then deal with the matter of sukkah decoration and how far underneath the sukkah they can be hanging, and then continue with this matter of canopy beds and whatever inside the sukkah.
Alexander.
Yes.
Alexander.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
In the case of two sukkahs, one on top of the other, how would the people in the top sukkah walk on schach? I mean, how do you devise that?
Well, think of it, for example. Schach can be, you know, we're going to learn later on in the perek, for example, you're not allowed to use boards wider than a certain width for schach, but in principle, you're allowed to use boards narrower than that. We're going to talk about that when we get to that, Beis Hashem. It's not so simple nowadays when they use narrower boards as well for ceilings, but at least in the Dinah de Gemara, you're allowed to use boards that are less than 3 tefachim wide and less than 4 tefachim wide, according to another opinion. So you can have the bottom sukkah is roofed with such boards, and it's possible to step on them.
And the board has to be smaller than how much, you said?
3 tefachim according to everybody and 4 tefachim according to the beholder. We're going to discuss it later on in the parak. We're going to discuss it on that test above, test Zion or thereabouts. But yeah, so again, nowadays, the Gemara mentions later on, if you use boards that are too wide, then it's going to resemble a roof and people aren't going to realize that you have to sit in a sukkah. They're going to think that you can sit under a roof. So in those days where they regularly used for roofs boards only 3 or 4 tefachim wide and not narrower than that, then you could use narrower boards. Nowadays it's not so simple, but in any case, in principle, you're allowed to use boards for the schach. So therefore, you can easily enough make it that the schach could be something solid enough to be able to stand on.
And the boards can be anchored?
No, we'll get to those concepts later in the parak. But no, to anchor them is not. If they're nailed in place, then it's a roof, it's not a sukkah.
So then, if it's not anchored, how do you expect people to walk on it, on the top?
It's standing on top of the wall. What do you mean? It's standing on top of the bottom walls of the sukkah. Think of it. The walls of a sukkah can be made out of anything, right? You can have, for example, let's say that you have a stone gazebo or something, whatever, in your property, and you put schach on top of that. So if you use boards for schach, you can easily enough have something which is strong enough to be able to stand on.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah.